going to talk about trust. How do we feel about that? I'm trying to get where my mic's not scaring y'all. Okay, I'm going to talk about trust. So here's my question to you guys. Are you ready? Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being completely jaded and bitter and, you know, about trusting anyone ever, and 10 being completely free and open and, you know, to giving anyone a chance to be trustworthy, where do you fall? Think about it. Where do you fall? And just by you, like, yelling out your number, like, that just shows something about you, right? Right? There you go. I love it. Okay, so I think it's directly related. I think it's directly related to the experiences you've had and how much you've been hurt. Okay? How much you've been hurt. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I've been hurt in a second, which I know I'm a stranger, so I'm just going to ask y'all to give me some grace and listen to me. But I think it is about how much you've been hurt is directly correlated to how much you trust people. So your parents, your friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, coaches, siblings, all that, whatever, whoever it is, some combination of all of that has led you to your current trust level. Okay? So, for me, like I said, I'm a stranger. Give me some grace. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So, I give myself, when I was in high school, probably maybe like a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. My parents divorced when I was in second grade. And obviously, that was super painful for me, as many of you know who have divorced parents. But my mom and my dad both really loved me and really stayed present in my life. And so it was kind of a little bit of both. When I was in high school, I had a really tight-knit group of friends. And, you know, they were great sometimes, but then sometimes they weren't. You know, sometimes there was backstabbing and gossiping and all kinds of different things. But I did have one very close friend. And from when I was little, and we went all the way, she was even my freshman roommate at UT. I also had several, you know, guys along the way in high school. And, you know, they ranged from great, like great to me, kind, treated me right, to, we'll just say, not so great, okay? I'll leave it at that. So I give myself in high school maybe like a 6, okay? So like why do I bring this up? Why does this matter? Why am I talking about this? Well, you guys, if you've been going to Young Life back home, you've been listening to your leaders talk about Jesus and what his character is like and who he is. And why that matters is because Jesus was God. And if Jesus was God, then if we want to know about God, we have to look at Jesus and what he's like and his character. And God said this, if you want to know me, watch Jesus. So that's why your Young Life leaders are always talking about Jesus, because he's God. One important part of Jesus' character is that he is trustworthy. And even when we doubt or fail, he never abandons us. I was asked tonight to read my favorite story about Jesus. So this is truly my favorite eyewitness account about Jesus, okay? So listen up. This is in Matthew. As soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone, late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their minds. A ghost, they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me, don't be afraid." And Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come out." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus, but when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." And Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" The two of them climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." So that's my favorite story about Jesus. And so here's what happens, okay? After a long day of Jesus performing miracles and, you know, doing what Jesus does, right, teaching, he kind of dismisses the crowd and he tells his disciples, which were like his 12 closest guys, he said, "I want you to go get in the boat, go across the sea, and like I'll catch up with you later." And Jesus is always telling them to do something like weird, right? So they go and do it. And they get into this small boat and, you know, there's obviously not like a motor there. It's just like rowing or something. I don't know. It's a small boat. And so they get in this boat and they set out far to the sea and this storm comes up. And it says it's about 4 a.m., okay? So it's about 4 a.m. and the storm starts kind of raging. The wind starts blowing. Waves start crashing on their boat. And it is pitch black. Like, I don't know if y'all have ever, I was trying to think of a time that I'd been somewhere where it was pitch black, but it's so hard now, you know, with their light everywhere. I mean, they are out there in the middle of this sea and it is dark. I mean, maybe they have like a lamp, but that's it. So it's dark, waves are crashing, wind's blowing. They're afraid. And their nerves are like, their senses are really heightened and they're like white knuckle gripping on this boat. And to make matters worse, as if that wasn't enough, what happens? They see this figure coming out across the water, moving towards them through this like waves and spraying and they're kind of squinting like, "What is that?" And they freak. They're like, and some, you know, I just imagine one guy going, "It's a ghost!" And they're all like, "A ghost!" You know, like pack mentality, right? "It's a ghost! He said it's a ghost! It's a ghost!" You know? And I just want to pause for a second because I think this is interesting. So, like modern day psychologists say that in threatening situations, stressful situations, threatening situations where you're afraid to, you know, you might, whether you're going to lose your life or just be harmed, that there's like three human responses, okay? Fight, flight, or freeze, okay? And all of us have a tendency towards one of them. And, you know, in this situation with, you know, the figure coming and the waves and the wind, I'm like, fight, you know, maybe that's one of the guys like grabs the oar of the boat and just like chunks it at Jesus. I don't know. I mean, it's essentially like you just like when you get scared, you just want to punch somebody. That's what you want to do. Okay? You're just afraid. Or flight, maybe that's in this situation just being like, "Peace, I'm at," like just swimming. Just jumps off the boat. "Bye, there goes John," like, you know, he's out of here. Okay? And so, and this is what I think, honestly, I would do. Like, I think I'd want to be a fight person, but I think I'm probably a freeze person, which is just, like, paralyzed. You know, like, it's a ghost. Like, kind of the T-Rex mentality. If I don't move, will he see me, you know? So anyway, while they're, like, contemplating their fight, flight, freeze options, Jesus graciously says, "It's me, don't be afraid." "It's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter, who is kind of the, you know, leader, the guy arguably closest to Jesus, takes a deep breath and he does something completely surprising. He says, "Okay, Lord, if it's you, let me come out there. I want to come out. I want to walk on water." I love that. And he doesn't fight, and he doesn't flight, and he doesn't freeze, because there's this feeling in him more powerful than fear, and that is that Peter wants to know what might happen if he were to trust Jesus. And he's saying, I want to believe it's you, Jesus, so help me believe by doing something that only God can do. And you know, honestly, I can relate to that feeling, to Peter's feeling. You know, maybe praying a prayer like, Lord, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if I'm just talking to the air right now, but reveal yourself to me in a way that I can know it's you. And then I will trust you. And you know what? I would encourage you to pray that prayer. I would encourage you because it's an honest prayer and God is trustworthy and he will respond. Now, it may not be the way you think it will be, but I might argue that it might be even better because Peter gets a response. Jesus is like, okay, Peter, come on. Let's do this. And Peter steps out of the boat. And this is one of the reasons this is my favorite story, is because I love imagining him stepping out. And he steps out, you know, he sticks his one toe in, and he's like, is it going to sink? And is it going to sink? And he locks eyes with Jesus, and he goes, okay, I'm going to trust him. And he steps out, takes a step, and guess what? Jesus is trustworthy. And the water is firm. And he takes another step, and he takes another step. And is he like, are you guys seeing this? You know? And another. And what are the disciples doing? What are the other guys doing? I mean, they're leaning in. They have to be. That's what I'd be doing. Like, are you? I mean, what is happening? And a side note, I've laughed like many times thinking about Peter later telling this story. Retelling this story, because this is an epic story, right? And, you know, I imagine him telling it to his friends or his kids or his grandkids or whoever, and he's like, I stepped out and the water was solid. It was like a frozen lake, but it was still moving. Like the waves were still moving, but I was walking on it. And then I kind of imagine like his wife or his friends being like, yeah, 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 Peter, but then you started sinking. You remember? You know, like humbling him a little. And he's like, right, okay, fine. Because then what happens in the story is he gets distracted. He gets distracted. The wind and the waves, and he kind of loses eye contact with Jesus and he starts to sink. And then he prays the fastest prayer of all time. Lord, save me. You know, just going down. Help me. Help. And what does Jesus do? Does he just turn around and he's like, okay, well, that, nice try. I thought it would work. It didn't. Or is he like standing over Peter like, Peter's sinking and he's like, Peter, you disappointed me. You know, no. It says that Jesus immediately reaches out his arm and grabs him. And he pulls him in and he pulls him close and he says, why'd you doubt me? Why'd you doubt? So Jesus is trustworthy, and even when we doubt or fail, he never abandons us like Peter. And so my question is this, and then I'll be done, is where are you right now? Where in your life are you? You know, are you standing in the boat trying to decide if you should trust Jesus? Are you wondering, this is probably me in high school, wondering what my friends and even my family might think if I decided to step out of the boat towards Jesus? Are you just stepping out of the boat and you're like, is he going to be trustworthy? This seems risky. Or have you decided to trust Jesus in the past, but the wind and the waves have come? They've come. And you've lost sight of him because you're so overwhelmed and scared. Or have you made some mistakes? So many mistakes. I made so many mistakes in high school. And you feel like you're sinking and you're wondering if Jesus is still willing to reach out his hand to you. Regardless of where you are, Jesus is trustworthy, and even when we doubt or fail, he never abandons us. He's saying, trust me with your life. Others may have failed you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Others may have failed you. But I will never fail you. I will never fail you. I know that the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing, but I am here. I have never left you, and I never will. Call out to me, and I will respond. And no matter what mistakes you've made, I will always reach out my hand to you. I'll always reach out my hand. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank you that you're there for us when we're afraid. Thank you that you're there for us when we're confused. Lord, I pray that we would not lose sight of you, and that we would take a risk, and that we would pray that prayer that Peter prayed, that if I could just trust you, if I could just trust you, Lord. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.